Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Listen up, class.
Cracking a cold one.
This is a bubbly cherry bubbly, cherry flavor with other natural flavors.
Best flavor, in my opinion.
It's not my favorite. I like the blackberry. And the grapefruit.
Grapefruit. I hate grapefruit.
I love grapefruit things. I love grapefruit flavored things, and I love grapefruit.
I like grapefruit, but I don't like grapefruit flavored things. But I will say something that's really nice about Alex, when we buy bubblies for the house, you get cherry.
Yeah.
Because you know that's the only one I like. And you bite the bullet.
I do. Because to be honest, like in the moment when I'm tasting it, I guess it tastes different, but I'm...
You're in it for the bubbles.
Yeah.
You don't really care, like,
yeah,
at the end of the day.
The flavor.
Yeah.
Well, it does the same thing for me. You know what I mean?
Respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Sometimes I don't like to drink bubblies on the podcast, though, because I'd be burping.
And I will be burping.
The amount of times that we, like Dave has to edit it out, us being like, hold on. It's kind of bad. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday.
Hi. Happy Monday.
It's another week.
It's the last
grind
week
never
of
stops.
January. God bless.
January has been so long
quick
for me.
Oh, I think it flew by.
And I was talking to Leanne about this. She said the same thing. It just feels for like forever for me.
Really?
It feels like the longest month I've had in honestly like a few years.
Oh, this flew by. Like I actually can't believe it's basically February.
Just so, I feel like so much happened. So
yeah,
I feel like when my months are filled with events like that, it,
like drags?
The days drag.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like January's dragging.
When it's busy like that and like when a lot of crazy shit happens, which it did this month.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like it flew by for
me. I get
me.
That too.
Like longer, emptier days drag for me.
Yeah. No, I see both. Maybe it's just what happened in particular. It's different when I have busy months for like work or, you know, extracurricular like events and that like fun stuff. But when like emotional things happen, that's when I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm like stuck in this.
I mean, yeah, I totally relate to that too.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm definitely stuck in everything that happened this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will be forever.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen to that. This is another lip balm that I got from my mother. It's the one that my mom got us.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, it's a tinted lip oil by Catrice. Gloss
cat,
and
cat
glow.
Rice.
Cat rice. Gloss and glow. And this one's spill the tea.
I have a pinky one too. She got us those for Christmas. They're just so like, good though.
Yeah, it sits really nice on the lips.
Do you think it's Amazon or something? Like where can people even get this?
Probably, I could imagine like Ross.
Just Google cat rice.
Or Marshall's. Big mom's a big TJ Maxx girly. Yeah. She's a Maxinista through and through.
She is. She's through. Like the blueprint of their customer when they were like figuring out their demographic.
Yes.
It was her.
Yes. Maxinista.
Classic girl. Hey.
Hey, mom.
I think she's listening. Did she listen to all of them?
She she listens when she can't sleep. She wakes up really early in the mornings and she listens and she always says, but I have to listen later on in the day because your voices put me to sleep.
Thank you.
She said, you guys' voices are so calming. And like, I always like listen to the first half, but like you help me go back to sleep.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah.
Anybody else fall asleep?
But she does say that she listens to like the last half later on in the day.
Okay.
Or she has a she has like a gym in her one of her spare rooms, mm-hmm. and she has like a big TV in there, so she'll put us on when she's on okay. the treadmill.
Respect.
Yeah.
And you know what? In your defense, Rhonda, like early morning, some of the shit we talk about, kind of a lot for a 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Yeah.
conversation. So, yeah. you know.
But I just picture her in bed, like she puts on her headphones, obviously. And she's like, a lot of times she says, oh my God, I cracked up, or like I was crying, well, whatever. But I just like picture her in bed cracking up and my dad like, go to bed.
Right. It's like 3 a.m. Yes. Like,
yeah, she has a crazy sleep schedule.
Yeah, I feel like she's always been a super early bird.
Very just 'cause early.
All your life too?
She's always worked a really early shift. Growing up, she always was out of the house before I got up for school. I think she worked like 5:30, 6:30 shifts, like almost up until high school. And I always like remember it being like a real treat when I would wake up with her or before her. And I would go like lay on the couch and throw on cartoons or TV while she left. And like, I felt like I was home alone.
Yeah.
But like everyone else was just still asleep. And but like all the lights were off.
Holding down the fort.
Yep.
I know what you mean. When I used to, if I couldn't sleep and I'd be like, go to the living room, like turn on my show. Like I felt like an adult. Like I was like, yeah, oh, this is my
And routine. Like the sun's not up yet. I just felt like I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to rue the day.
Down.
Yep.
Yeah. Ugh, I can't One of those. I worked a job where my shift would start at 5. So I was leaving the house. It was when I worked in Oakland. So I was leaving the house at like 3:30. It was really hard at first, but I will say it was nice getting off at like 1.
You have the whole day.
I had the whole day.
Yes.
And it like I made my money in the morning, but then I still felt like I almost like didn't have a job because I was like,
you're off. You could do things during the day. I could do anything.
I could go shopping.
Did you sleep? Did you feel like you need to like catch up on a couple hours waking up that early?
No, I mean, I've just never been a nap person.
Right.
But there in the beginning, I was exhausted. So I wasn't ruining the day. There was like definitely
an adjustment period.
Yeah. But once I got adjusted, I was like, okay, like it felt good. Like but it did suck because then I would go to bed. I would at least tell myself to be in bed by like 9, which felt really early, especially at that age. Nowadays, right. I'm like, that's a great time to go to bed. But like at that age, everybody's like partying or something. And I'm like, oh, I have to go to bed.
Because you have to be up so early. Yeah, I get that.
There were nights too where I would just stay out then and just like go straight to work, which would not recommend.
That's crazy.
Do not recommend doing
Don't
that.
Don't do that.
But like sometimes you have to have those just silly little nights, irresponsible nights, go straight into work. Like
they build character.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've done it before, but they're scary. They always turn out to be really scary days.
Oh no. I would like
the day after.
And it always ends up being like the most demanding day at work. Yes. And I'm like, I don't have the fucking brain for this right now. That's how I feel today. I went out last night.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell us about your date?
Oh yeah. I went on a date last night. Let me finish that thought. I'll talk about the date. But I had like a really taxing therapy session, to say the least, this morning with my family. And we're talking on it. And I was like, yeah, for sure. No, you got to feel your feeling. Like, I feel like I had half a fucking brain. But
kind of there, kind of not there. You probably blacked out the whole time.
Absolutely. I dissociated about 6 times and zoomed out. I'm like, if you would have told little Kristen that I'd be on a therapy session with my family, she'd be like, yeah, right. Fuck that. I don't want to talk to them, but we'll get into that another day, I'm sure. But yeah, I went on a date last night. I met this guy on Raya and it was so much fun. We talked on Raya for a little bit. Then we got each other's numbers. We were talking for like about a week, I think. Yeah. About a week. And, just really great conversation. So I was really excited for the date because all you think of for a date is like, what are we going to talk about? But I knew we had that.
You
down.
Had that, yeah.
Yeah, like, clear. I mean, yes, it is only over text, but, like, you know, texting nowadays, you got emojis, you can give emotion.
You could totally pick up on, like, flow through texting.
Culture. Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. But, yeah, we went to this cool bar called The River. Mm. We gotta go.
Did you love the hot dog?
We ended up getting a hot dog.
What?
I know, it was, like, totally the narrative of our whole day.
Yeah.
We just ended up getting it, but they had this drink. It was called the Bull Shot, I think. Bull something. And it was kind of a spin on like a Bloody Mary because it was so savory and salty, but it was beef broth, Worcestershire, Tabasco, vodka, but it was delicious.
It was good.
It was so fucking good. When I was pulling up, because I was kind of late, there was some traffic, and he was like, do you want me to grab a drink? for you? And I was like, no, like I've been looking at the menu. Like I want to explore the menu. I'll order. I'll be pulling up in a sec. And I was like, did you see the drink called the Bullshot? And he's like, it looks kind of good, .. And I could tell he like did it.
Was like testing waters.
Right. And I was like, we're on the same page. But he was like, let's get it. Like you get it. But if you don't like it, what do you like instead? And I was like, I'll do Negroni. So he got a Negroni.
Oh, that's really nice.
I know. And then he gave me that. And he's like, if you don't like it, we'll switch and I'll drink that one. So I drank half and then he drank half the Negroni and then we switched. And then
so
I
had this like,
yeah,
love that.
It was fun. Really good conversation. He's like, I was telling Alex, like, I love when people are funny, obviously. That's brownie points no matter what. But sometimes people take humor, like, a little too far. And that's come from silly, goofy girl herself.
I
like when people can drop the bit.
Yeah.
And then actually have, like, a real fucking conversation.
Totally.
And that's what we had. And it was great. Yeah. We had two drinks. It was like chill.
Did you just stay at that one spot?
We stayed at that one spot and we left at like, I think it was like 11:30. And then I stayed out and I just went and grabbed, we talked about it last episode. Yeah, Anna De Guzman, the magician. I went and had a drink with her because I told her that day that I would get a matcha with her, but we had such a busy day. So I felt really bad and it was her last day in the city. I was fucking pooped. I wanted to go home, but I was like, no, I told her I'd see
her. Suck it out.
So when we were leaving, he walked with me to like the, cause we were kind of in like an alley in Chinatown and he walked with me to a main road so I could grab a yellow. He was like, it'd be like really romantic. And I was like, what? He's like, I should probably hail you a cab right now. I was like, yes, this is so New York. Like, please do it. And he was like, taxi. Like it was like a full bit.
I love that.
But there were like no taxis.
Oh, so we like kept 10 doing minutes. It. Like
the bit would have been funny if one pulled up right then, right?
Right.
But we were like, okay, fuck. Like this is actually
now
really
you have
hard.
To like start a new conversation.
Like, well, exactly. It was funny though. I get in the taxi. We kissed. He kissed me bye.
And you felt good about it.
I felt good about it. Yeah. But it was like a quick kiss, whatever. But I get in the cab. I'm going to my destination, whatever. And I like pull up and I'm like ready to pay. And the taxi driver, he was like a young guy too. He's like, he's with the shits. He looked back and I was like, oh, I don't see the total here. It said zero. I'm like, I don't think you started the meter. And he was like, oh no, your boyfriend covered it. Is that your boyfriend? I was like, no, that was actually our first date. And he's like, no, he covered it. He covered it good.
Oh.
And so he slipped him cash and I didn't even fucking see it.
That's so crazy. What a move.
What a move.
What a move.
So
take notes.
Take notes, people. I guess the equivalent could be like calling an Uber for someone, but that's a little more obvious.
Right.
I love how he slipped it and I had no idea.
Yeah, because he didn't do it for like brownie points.
Yep.
He did it because he just wanted to take care of it.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to like boastfully, oh no, I got it.
Sure, which is still kind, but like.
Totally. But it leaves question for intention when you try and be extra boastful about paying for something.
Yeah. Especially on the first day. Like, are you peacocking? Like,
right.
Yeah.
It's really nice that he did it like under the radar.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's cool.
Good. You're going to see him again?
I think so.
Woo!
I think.
Butterflies?
I wouldn't say butterflies, but I don't like it takes a lot for me to get butterflies.
Okay.
Him and I kind of talked about that too. Like, I go slow with this type of shit.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about like intention at all?
A little bit.
Do you know what he's looking for?
We're kind of on the same page about it. We were saying like, we've never, like I'll speak for myself. Like I've never really gone into dating being like, I want a boyfriend right now. That's just like not how I look at it. I look at it as like, I'll meet people and
connection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just down for connection period. And however deep or shallow it's meant to go will roll out for me, and then
right
we'll assess the situation if there's a deeper connection. But for what it is right now, I mean, it was one fucking date. We hung out for like 2 hours. Like it was
right
great. And I think we'll see each other again.
Good. It's so exciting.
I know, Alex. I went on a date.
Woo! And it was good, and you got a little at the end.
A little.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cute. I hope he listens to this.
I hope not. We talked about the podcast too. And in my head, I'm like, I almost wish I didn't say it.
I always say like, and my boyfriend fully doesn't listen to the podcast. I always preface, oh, I don't really like when people I know listen.
I don't like it.
No. I'll tell people don't listen.
Yeah. And when people, oh, I got to check it out. I'm like, no, you don't.
No.
You don't need to check it out.
I feel like you kind of need to say why. Because when we're getting to know someone, I guess I'll speak for myself. When I'm getting to know someone, I want them to learn about me through me.
Exactly.
And I don't want them. And especially, we've been doing this for 4 years now.
Nuts.
If you watch a 2020 episode, you're learning about an Alex that frankly does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
So if I'm going on date, like if I was in your situation and I'm going on dates and meeting people and they're going to listen to an old episode, they're going to make assumptions and form conclusions
naturally.
Naturally. Yeah. As we do when we take in information about people,
right.
They're going to make their own assumptions based on like without all the facts.
Yeah. And like, I want it to come from me.
I want it to come from me. I want you to learn about me through me.
And learning about people is a form of connection. Like it's one thing to read something about someone or watch a podcast or whatever. Like, but if I can give you the same information and I probably will, but
in
I would rather,
time.
I'd rather it be like within conversation where then you can give your input while you're also learning it about me at the same time. And it's an exchange of energy.
Right. Well then it's,
it's
a weird thing.
Yeah. Anyway,
fun date. We should go on a double.
Wait, hold on. No,
I actually like, but I can't wait to be able to go on a double with you.
We will go on double dates, but I'm taking it slow. I'm taking it slow. I'm just getting used to dating in general. Like
that's
just already something for me. Like it's obviously getting to know these individuals is one thing, but like just exercising the practice of dating, like. You guys get it. Any single people listening, like you're in a relationship. You obviously had to date your person. It could be exhausting.
It is.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm waiting for the day because I don't mean this in like a pessimistic way. It's just like obvious if I keep dating, which I am, where it like really doesn't fucking vibe and I have to like sit through the exchange. Like,
and it, yeah, no, it will.
It's going to happen.
Everyone has shit dates at some point.
Yeah.
I can name a few.
God, I think about guy who unbuttoned his pants on your date.
You guys. And you know what's crazy? Like you would think someone who didn't give a fuck about like the date in general, or if we weren't vibing, then it would be like, oh, okay, he did that because he doesn't give a fuck and like he doesn't think he's gonna see me again.
Right.
Like this man wanted to date me. What did you think?
Like wrap it up a little bit. Like,
what did you think I would think about you unbuttoning your pants because, and like he unbuttoned his pants and like let out a big sigh and like,
what did you
in the middle of a restaurant?
What did you guys eat? Do you remember what he ordered? Like, was he that full is what I'm trying to say.
Maybe, but like, fuck it up.
Yeah. Wear stretchier pants.
Sure.
If you're someone who needs to do that.
If it's like actually crazy, stand up. I'm gonna go to the bathroom real quick. Loosen up your belt, do it in the bathroom and then come back.
Right. Right.
Yeah. There's some date horror stories out there. You'll have your own one day.
I know. Yeah. And you guys will be the first to know. Don't worry. I'm sure they'll each have their own little episode and we'll talk about it. But
love that.
At one point in the day, I went to the bathroom, but obviously packed bar, Saturday, Manhattan bar, girls' bathroom lines, mad long. And all I'm thinking is he's going to think I'm pooping. Because I'm waiting in the line for so long.
Did you get back and say, oh my God, the line was so long?
Of course I did. I had to tell him because he's probably thinking I was pooping and I did not poop.
I saw a TikTok of this woman who it was actually in Brooklyn. She was on a date and she said the date was going really well. They went to a second bar and he went to the bathroom and he was taking like mad long, but there wasn't a line. So she was like, what the hell's going on? And then it was like a crazy amount of time. It went past even like pooping time.
Oh no.
He comes out of the bathroom and like 2 seconds later, a woman comes out the bathroom after him.
Are you
and
fucking
he sat,
kidding me?
Yeah, he sat down and she was like, the girl on the date was like, what the fuck was that? Like, were we not vibing? And he goes, oh no, like you're thinking like, bad, like it's not what you're thinking or whatever. He was like, we were just doing coke. And she was like, okay,
great, should we get the check?
Thank you.
Check, please. Thank you for being honest. Like, respect.
Imagine I've actually gone on a date and I knew he was fucking coked out.
Yeah, don't go on dates and do coke.
Just don't.
Yeah, that's,
don't do coke.
That's kind of nuts. Yeah, nowadays too, god, it's so fucking
right.
Too much.
It's so fucking dangerous.
It's so dangerous. Everything is cut with a kajillion other things. Yeah, at one point, when I went to the bathroom, that my whole thing, I came back and there was like a big group of people sitting next to us at the table next to us. And I came back and one of the girls was sitting in my spot talking to him.
Oh my God.
But I could tell he was like, I walked up and he looked at me and like, he wasn't trying right. to, like, it wasn't what you think.
Right.
And, but I could tell she was coked out of her mind.
Oh.
So she was just, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what was she saying? He's like, I don't even know. He's like, let's go though. That's when we ended up leaving.
That's crazy.
But, yeah. And she was like, oh my God, are you guys on a first date right now? And like literally scooted closer and like started talking to us.
Stop.
And like, I mean, I'm so good with on the spot shit like that. I was right. just like, yeah, cheers. Like, what are you drinking? Like, you know, gave her time. And then we kind of, the body language shifted. And I think she right. read to like, stop. And then we obviously left. But
that's nuts.
Yeah. The interception there. I mean, it's a little different than the story you just said, but like, you're on a date and then someone gives someone else. That's
right.
No, that's crazy. Give someone else attention like that. Okay, enough about that. I'll keep you guys updated. But for today's episode, let's talk about like the evolution of the episode first.
Okay, yeah.
So another date I went on like 2 weeks ago. Did I talk about this? I don't know if I did.
Yeah.
Like how I met him originally?
Because I think.
Or that might have been
maybe
Patreon.
Maybe not.
Well, whatever. I'll say it again in 2 seconds. I met this guy. My flight to move here, literally like my one-way trip, I met him at the gate because he commented on my tattoos and he was like, oh, you have like really amazing line work. Like, where do you get it done? And blah, blah, blah. We're just talking tattoos. He's a tattoo artist. That's why he like was obviously commented on it.
Yeah.
And we had just stayed in contact on Instagram for the past year and a half now. Yeah. We finally met each other in person. It was a cool date though. He's a really chill guy. But our original intention for this episode was something based off a conversation him and I had on the date. And he was telling me about this Facebook group. It's called Are We Dating the Same Guy? I think that's what it's called. It has like over 100,000 members. You have to like be accepted to get in.
That's crazy.
And it's people telling stories about men in their area that, you know, maybe played them or did something like really fucking toxic. Just pretty much
like warning other women.
Warning other women.
You know what's crazy is I think when we first talked about your breakup with Tanner,
we talked said, about I wish yeah, we could fucking put him on our list.
Yes.
But he is a monster.
You should join.
I might have pressed join group already.
You
so
did?
I'll keep you updated.
Love that.
But the thing with this group, well, we originally wanted to go in and read some of them, but like I said, you not only have to be accepted, but it does say like you can't talk about this group publicly. Which, honestly, in hindsight, I now understand. Like,
yeah.
Because I guess people are giving out some, like, it's location-based.
Right.
So you're giving, like,
details that just shouldn't be on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't know.
They're like, the purpose of, it's not like Reddit where they're trying to get other people's opinions. Like, yes. The purpose of the Facebook group is to, like, save people.
Yes.
And, like, share valuable information.
Right. And I even read that a lot of people, like the group itself, the post itself are vague. And then you message the person if you think it's in line with your story. Oh. It's not just like you're talking in the comments. I'm sure there's some of that exchange, but like you message the girl
and you're like,
directly.
Wait, is this John?
Exactly. Okay. And then you can start talking some more information. But yeah, we thought that would be entertaining to read, but we will not be doing that. Side note. On that though, I was kind of thinking about it. Like, yes, I see the intention there. Like we said, even with Tanner, like I wish I could put him on a fucking list to warn all women. I also can imagine there's women that go on there just to bash.
Yeah.
And that's You're where right. there's actually a lawsuit, or I'm sure there's a few, but there's one that like I was able to read about briefly of this guy like actually suing for defamation because
everyone's biased in the information that they put out there.
And like you had a bad experience with them and like,
right.
Like even on, we'll even go back to like the Tanner shit, which I'm being optimistic right now, but like
there's
maybe
hope.
That was just our exchange. Maybe he right. won't ever do this again to somebody else. And I hope not, but, I digress. Yeah. So I was thinking like it'd be entertaining, but it's also like kind of giving a platform to people that maybe don't need it.
Right. Right.
It's so,
controversial in itself.
We went to Reddit instead, where yes. people consent for public knowledge.
Right.
And we kind of took it away from the dating aspect, and we're going to read some just crazy confessions.
And I love this because, as you guys know, we have a mini series that where we do Am I the Asshole?
Uh-huh.
And those are entries where we give our input, whether or not like they do good or bad.
Yeah.
These are people confessing things where they know they're the asshole.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They
like
know.
They just need to get it off their chest.
Yep. they feel the guilt that they should feel.
I'm sure we'll definitely be commenting on it a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And maybe a little bit of judgment here and there, but that's a natural human experience.
As we do.
But bottom line, all these confessions, I'm just glad they got it off their chest. Yep. The power of confessing is infinite.
Right.
So, hey, good on them for at least having enough self-realization to say it. Because some people live with things equally and worse than some of the shit we're about to read that will right. never say it. And like, to go a little bit deeper there, I think that's so poisonous. Like, if you have something you need to confess, even if you want to do it anonymously on something like Reddit, like, but the power of getting it off your chest is powerful.
Absolutely.
Before we continue today's episode, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc, which is a free app where you can book and read reviews about doctors in your area.
One of the most dreaded parts of finding doctors and making those appointments is making the phone calls. And what's really nice is you can do everything through the app. Even if you have to reschedule, you don't have to call and like find a new date. You could go on the app and just choose a new date for your appointment. So it's so convenient. It's so easy.
Also, you can plug in your insurance and it will filter to providers that only take your insurance. So that also takes out the step of needing to like read your member ID over the phone and all that.
Right. What I love about ZocDoc is they have a ton of different specialties and they have a nice little checklist of all the things that you need to keep up on throughout the year. So you could do your 6-month dental appointment. You could do your gyno. You can go see your eye doctor and get new contacts or whatever. So you could do everything through the app.
The typical wait time of booking an appointment through ZocDoc is 24 to 72 hours, but you can sometimes score same day appointments, which is the best because that's how I get when I'm like, I need to make this appointment. I kind of just like want to get it done now.
Yep.
So it's nice when they're like, oh, you got it at 4:00 today. Boom, done. Honestly, ZocDoc has been such a big help since we moved to New York. And we've had to completely reestablish all of our normal doctors that we clearly don't have anymore. And that checklist made it so easy because like, I don't know, you sometimes even forget the things that are supposed to be routine.
Right.
We don't have our parents telling that anymore.
Exactly. This is our parent. ZocDoc is our parent.
Darren's.
Again, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online.
Go to ZocDoc.com/advice and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/advice. ZocDoc.com/advice.
Thanks, ZocDoc. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I guess. I have a few different like genres.
Yeah, I pulled some crazy ones, but also like some fun
ones.
Some
like lighthearted ones.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start with crazy ones then.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't fully even read this one.
I didn't fully read any of them.
Me either. Okay, good. The subject line of this one is retired FBI confession.
Love.
I know, huh? I used to work in a medical procedures unit in a hospital in the PNW. What's that?
Pacific Northwest.
Okay. Patients would undergo endoscopic exams, which they were sedated for. We had an elderly gentleman patient this case, and while we waited for the doctor to arrive, we engaged in friendly chit-chat. Nothing out of the ordinary. When the doc came in, he immediately asked us if the patient told us his history. I started rattling off the medical reasons why he was having the procedure, and the doc cut me off saying, no, his past work history as an undercover FBI mob agent. Whoa. Naturally, my reaction was, oh, no, that must have been interesting dealing with those mob guys. The patient's response has haunted me until this day. His exact words, quote, those guys weren't as bad as those motherfucking politicians. He then went on to tell a story about how he was head of security for a congressional event in the 80s. Nuts. He said another agent handed him the phone saying a congressman wanted to speak with him. The conversation went as follows. Congressman, will there be women? Agent, not sure what you mean, but yes, women are here. Congressman, when I arrive, I want one sent to my room, no older than 13.
Shut the fuck up.
Right after he said that, the CRNA pushed the meds and he passed out. We all just stood there in silence while he underwent the procedure. What the fuck did he just tell us?
Oh, God. And like the cliffhanger at the end.
I know. Oh. I know.
Oof. I always think about, I know this is a very like washed down version of this, but the show Scandal and fixers for politicians.
What the? Oh, like.
A fixer is someone
in
who
Succession. They had one too.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Any like big politician, money making family, they have fixers.
I'm sure celebs have it too. And
yeah. But they have people who handle any scandal that comes up. And if someone comes up and is trying to be like a whistleblower or something, they have people to take care of these kinds of things.
Their stories.
Yeah. Those are the stories you want. You don't like, they know everything.
Unfiltered, because they're literally paid to be like that filter.
Yep.
Like it all goes through them and they have to redirect. And yeah,
it's crazy. You should watch Scandal. It's like in Ozark, the woman quote lawyer, I think she probably is a lawyer, but she's a fixer.
Okay. I don't think I'd have the morale to be a fixer.
Mm-mm. Hell no.
I would not be able to like wash shit like that under the rug for someone. I don't care how much you're paying me.
The worst people on the face of the earth get away with the worst crimes.
Literally
on the face
get away
of the
with
earth.
Murder. Yes.
You're murdering for them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's
your
what
hands
it is.
Are bloody too.
Absolutely. It's
not one crazy though.
Ugh, nuts.
I hope his procedure went well.
Yeah.
You know, can I have a follow up?
I like how they push the drugs like right after the craziest
part. I know,
part.
It's so dramatic.
Jeez.
Like, did you warn him?
Right.
Come back from 100, like something.
Okay, here's mine. I stole over $20,000 in a very creative way in the 90s.
Creative.
Let's see. I worked at a fast food chain in the 90s when I was in high school. When I worked there, they were in the process of phasing out denominational gift certificates. $5, $10, $25. The way it worked was if you spent more than half of the certificate, they gave you the cash back. So if you ordered $5.50 worth of food and gave them one of the $10 gift cards, they gave you the $4.50 back in cash. Mm. My manager was in charge of destroying all the existing certificates as we transitioned to the more traditional credit card looking gift cards. So my manager said he shredded the certificates like he was supposed to. But one night when I was closing, I found two boxes of the gift cards tucked deep in the dry storage room. They were filled with the certificates that were supposed to be shredded. So I scooped them up, brought them out to the dumpster in trash bags, and threw them away. After we closed, I came back and covered the back and brought the certificates home. I counted them. There were 1,000. $25, $1,000, $10, and 500 $5 certificates. None of them had expiration dates. Total haul was $40,000 in fast food certificates. My manager never said a word. He couldn't. He had reported them destroyed weeks later. Over the next 3 years, my girlfriend and I toured every location in our state and the next four states ordering food and getting the change. We never kept track on a spreadsheet or anything, but we got good at knowing what menu items were just about half. After the first year, we started saving the change in a shoebox and let it build up. I bought my first car for $7,800 cash from the change. And for some reason, a kitty cone was $1.05. If you gave them a $5 certificate, they gave you back $3.95. We threw away a lot of kitty cones.
Oh,
damn.
My gosh.
Good for you.
Eat the rich.
Eat the fucking rich.
That's so cool. That's such a good point in the beginning where it was saying like they were transitioning from the gift certificates to the traditional gift cards we have nowadays. What a time that was for retail.
Yeah.
I've never even thought about that. Because right. We're like the last generation that saw the paper gift certificate. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
Any millennials. Like,
they were like Kohl's cash.
Literally.
Yeah.
And they had to convert. That's
$20,000. Wow. Oh, I'm so jealous.
I'm so proud. Like,
I'm so jealous of you.
Oh my God. I that's like that could be a good movie.
Yeah.
Like following the couple. Like that's very like Bonnie and Clyde. Like,
yes. And I picture like McDonald's.
Yeah. I'm
like, you're
McDonald's.
For sure going into McDonald's and order. Like, okay. You said a kitty cone.
I guess.
What's that?
Like a thing of like a cone,
like a soft serve.
That's what I thought.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
What? Who else has soft serve? I think Wendy's might.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$20,000. Like, if it's a big corporation, like fuck them. If you were doing that to like a mom and pop diner, like I'd be like, that's kind of fucked.
Right.
But yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's a good segue. I have some. I think I have two
money makers.
Not necessarily money makers, but confessions of like. Fast food workers.
Okay, I have another one too.
Okay, cool. Well, let's bang those out. Okay, I'll do this one. This one's McDonald's, since we're suspecting that one you just read is McDonald's. I quit my job at McDonald's, so here's my confessions. I gave every McNugget Happy Meal one extra nugget.
Love, I do the same.
It's so sweet. Never order the breakfast after noon. I won't explain it, but please trust me. Why? But doesn't breakfast stop at
11?
Like 10 or 11 anyway?
I think 11.
I know for a period of time, McDonald's took that away and they were all day breakfast. So if that comes back, or if it's back already, I don't know. I don't go to McDonald's.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. The work environment is clean. Most of what you hear about fast food is bullshit.
Oh.
That's cool.
Okay.
If you go to McDonald's on a Sunday, the general manager is probably not there, so the food will be worse.
Oh, and you always want to go on Sundays.
Right, you don't like hungover and shit. Don't yell at us just because we refuse to give you an item we don't serve anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Always.
Most of the workers are 16. And lastly, yes, we can tell you are high. That's funny.
That's really good.
I've always thought that. I'm like, in the drive-thru, just like trying to act normal. Like,
yeah, they could
they
tell.
They fucking know.
They could tell.
There's a follow-up. Someone said, please explain the second one. And that's the never order breakfast after noon.
Mm.
They said, so at 11, we start lunch. The trays are set on timers. And when the timers go off, we're supposed to throw them away. The general manager never lets you, and nobody does anyway. But most people don't order breakfast after around 11:30 to noon. So those extra eggs and sausages sit in that tray for over an hour. The sausage changes color. The muffins rapidly deteriorate in quality. How? The McGriddles have likely been there the whole day.
Ew.
And overall, it's just gross. Yeah. Is it risky to eat? Probably not. There's a lot of preservatives, but definitely not ideal. Same story with any item with bacon. The bacon isn't even kept under a heat lamp. It's exposed to the elements for hours.
You know what? Like, ew. The flat bacon that comes with anything at any fast food restaurant,
it is kind of
you
bunk.
Know.
Bacon needs to be fresh.
Fresh, like, and like fried.
And that's how it stays crispy, because I feel like once you let it sit, the oils that were crispy, they melt again.
Yep, and they soak
and
back
then
it gets, into
like,
it and
it's floppy.
Flimsy.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew, ew, ew. Oh, God, I love these fast food ones.
Okay.
Okay, what's yours?
I added Tabasco to Wendy's chili and used it to get second place in a chili cook-off.
Oh, my God. Second place, too. Like, right. That's sick.
It says, title basically says it all. This wasn't a professional organized competition. There were some BMX event with a couple hundred people, and they always have a chili cook-off. That sounds pretty organized and professional to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not much for cooking, so I thought it would be funny to throw a bunch of Wendy's chili in a crock pot and see if anyone noticed. They didn't. I've been a vegetarian for roughly 12 years, so this was a long time ago.
Yo!
You know what this reminds me of? Me and my friend Paige growing up, we would have lemonade stands every weekend, you guys. And
a businesswoman.
No, literally.
Entrepreneur.
And we would crack Minute Maids and pour the Minute Maid into Pixie Cups and sell Minute Maid,
you know,
for like $3 a cup.
And that's adorable. You had a profit margin there.
Right.
And it's not like these adults coming are like, what? I wanted homemade.
Well,
like, they're
we
just
used to write
you.
On a poster, fresh lemonade. Like
it's fresh.
We frontin'.
It's fresh. Oh, yeah. I'm your fixer. I'm your company's fixer. I'm like, well, technically.
So let's get technical.
They did just open the carton, so it's pretty fresh.
Oh, you got to do what you got to do.
No, yeah, you're an entrepreneur.
I love that.
Okay, so I have another fast food one, but to that, like, cook-off one, I wanted to read this, like, literally one sentence one. My grandpa, a Sicilian man blessed with cooking skills, told us on his deathbed that his famous meatballs were actually frozen meatballs from the grocery store.
I love that.
I bet you so many people do that.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, oh, can you bring your famous casserole for Christmas? Yes. And it's probably like the Safeway one that like is in the hot food section.
Absolutely. And you never,
whatever.
You don't even ask. You're like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever tasted.
And that's placebo effect.
Yes.
You think it's like made with love from one of your favorite people and like,
no.
They just put it in their own dish and then called it theirs.
There's an episode of Friends
I would
where,
never.
No, yeah. No.
God, no.
I wouldn't have the balls to do it.
Fuck no.
I would feel like someone's going to find out.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. That would be my deathbed confession. I wouldn't be able to live with that.
And I love that he did that literally at the last minute.
Last breath.
On his way out.
Those are store-bought meatballs. They're like, what brand? He dies. That's really funny.
There's an episode of Friends where Monica's trying to figure out Phoebe's grandma's like famous cookie recipe.
The grandma, we watched this episode over the holidays.
Okay, yeah. The her grandma's like really good cookie recipe, and Monica's like tasting different cookies, like doing different combinations, and Phoebe reads off like what she remembers from the recipe list, and she Monica goes and grabs a bag of Nestle cookie mix, and she's like, "Is this the fucking recipe?" So the whole time, Phoebe's grandma had made Nestle Toll House cookies.
Love that.
Love that.
That's really funny. That's probably very common. Okay, let me see the fast food one though. So this one's from an ex Starbucks barista.
Oh.
So let's throw Starbucks under the bus a little bit.
Let's do it.
Maybe. All the pastries come frozen and we defrost them. Wow, I didn't know that. We think they're overpriced too. Don't complain about the price. If it's too expensive for you, then Starbucks is not the place for you. Everything is overpriced here. Dunkin' Donuts is cheaper, and even cheaper is just like going to the grocery store.
Right.
This person has attitude.
Yeah, they do.
Lots of the syrups are made with milk and or honey, so they are not vegan. Mm. This is problematic for customers who pay extra for soy milk because they want to avoid animal products. Oh, shit. That's actually kind of crazy. Cleanliness and freshness really depends on the individual location. I worked at a 24/7 location with some of the highest traffic in the U.S., comparable to Times Square Starbucks.
Whoa.
And I assure you that hardly anything was properly sanitized and things were not always fresh. We tried, but it's very hard to keep up with the cleaning and such when you have 50 customers in line and people yelling at you wondering where their drink is.
Where's this location? If it's not Times Square.
More than Times Square? I don't know. Maybe like
Vegas?
Vegas. Yeah, that's fucking nuts. If you're rude, chances are you might get decaf shots because fuck you. If you're rude and you order a skinny drink, some might use real syrup and it goes straight to your ass, bitch.
Love that.
But no one would ever do anything other than this pettiness. It would be super fucked up to actually ruin someone's drink or make it gross. If it's rush hour and you ask for a complicated drink, we hate you. We're supposed to regularly. That is the hardest word in the English language.
It is regularly.
Regularly. Check and log the temperatures of the milk carafes that are available for customers to use, but we get so busy that the milk usually has been sitting out for hours, rising above safe temperatures.
Rising.
I don't even think they do that anymore.
What?
Any Starbucks I've been to in the past few years, the public milk next to the sugars and like the napkins.
You probably have to ask for it.
Maybe that was like a COVID thing that changed too.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen it. The ice machines are probably nasty. I don't think we ever cleaned ours in my 2 years of working there.
Shut the fuck up.
Ew. Iced coffees and iced teas are automatically sweetened using simple syrup. You can switch for another syrup free of charge and ask for fewer pumps if you prefer it unsweetened. Duh.
Yeah.
I feel like that wasn't like a whistleblowing move right there. Like, no shit. We're supposed to sanitize the foaming nozzle between drinks. The container holding the sanitizing agent gets super nasty very quickly from all the milk, but it doesn't get switched often. That makes me also think of, you know, when they're like the hot air thing when they're for steaming milk and that rag that they...
I think about that rag all the fucking time.
I need a documentary on that rag.
I need someone to fucking swab that rag.
Ew, and it sits back into the milky water.
Yes.
And it's like cross-contaminating too.
Absolutely.
Like over and over again.
It's sick.
I can't stand it. During rush hour, baristas often leave the milk jugs out rather than return it to the fridge between use because you're pouring milk literally every 30 seconds. Unfortunately, this means the milk temperature rises above safe levels over time and bacterial growth duplicates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I get it because like you're going to use it for the next drink, but then you're doing that for an hour straight.
It's not staying cold.
That's why, you know what I love about... Maman, it's a cafe here in New York. There's a few locations. They have their milk out to that point because they're using it so back to back, but they put it on ice. They have a big,
smart,
like almost like what you have like a cookout with like drinks in it, like
right.
An open faced ice chest. Have you noticed that? They have that
no.
Like to the right of the espresso machine. Yeah.
I always
be watching them.
Yeah. They do it well.
Maman's great.
I love Maman.
Maman is amazing and their food is so good.
Oh,
and everyone
God.
Who works there is like, you could tell they like their
really
job.
Really cool, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like bright and like
fresh.
Romantic. It feels like you're in Europe. It's a French cafe. It's just, oh.
I love it. I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
Please don't order a special secret menu drink. There is no secret fucking menu. tell us what you want in it and we can make it. But if you just tell us a ridiculous name, like Snickers Crunch Frappuccino, chances are we probably have no clue how to make that and we'll probably just make it up as we go, which it probably will end up tasting fine anyway. But unless you're used to having it made one way and suddenly someone makes it different, they're probably using different ingredients. And lastly, when you approach the cashier, put down your phone and know what you want to order. I side with this one.
Yeah.
Be polite, not rude. It's crazy how many times people come in and are like, hold on, I'm getting a drink for my friend. Let me call her real quick.
Oh.
Like, figure that out before and you fucking
don't
walk
up. Step up to the register.
Right. Like, know it. And then, yeah, that's nuts. Okay, that one wasn't as juicy as I thought it was going to be, but I guess it's always fun to get the insight.
Quality
scoop.
Information.
Yeah. Don't support Starbucks.
No. I just realized I missed a little edit part of the
Wendy's
stealing chili? the stealing
the gift certificates.
Gift
okay.
certificates.
What is it?
Let me just throw in some of these edits. One, we could hit 10 to 12 stores in a day if we drove around for 5 to 6 hours. Both of us would use a gift certificate. It was not that labor intensive. Two, the only cameras in the store were at the cash registers and takeout window. Three, the manager has no clue who took them or at least never treated me differently. Four, each gift certificate had a generic PLU on them. Example, all the $25 were PLU 756. Number five, when we stopped selling the certificates, we were told to keep honoring them because they were prepaid. They were not coupons. And one can only eat so many ice cream cones. I guess people were probably talking about like the food waste.
Yeah.
And
if I had that, I would, if there was like a homeless person outside,
always
like, hey,
them.
What do you want?
Right. If you're doing all these locations in
right.
the same day.
And you're getting your cash and they're getting a hot meal. Like yep. win-win.
Okay. Here is my next one. I slept with my daughter's ex-boyfriend. He got me pregnant and I had an abortion.
What the fuck?
They got back together and got married. Okay.
Literally, you could just kind of stop there.
No, it's pretty long. Yeah. Let that sink in.
Oh, my God.
Unfucking real. This was back in, let me think, maybe 1997. I was 38 and my daughter was 18 and she was dating Harry, who was 24. I was an alcoholic and dabbled in other drugs, mostly cocaine. I was not a good person, let alone mother. Not like I was abusive to my daughter or anything, but I was generally inattentive and cared more about my alcohol and drugs than her, especially in her teen years.
At least they admit it.
Right. And it says, I am 14 years sober now.
Fuck yeah, okay.
I disapproved of my daughter dating Harry, but I never told her why. He would flirt with me constantly, and the age difference also creeped me out. Also, he was an alcoholic and drug user, just like me. She broke up with him over his alcoholism. Soon after she moved away, not too far, but regardless, she didn't live with me anymore. Harry kept calling me and asking if we wanted to get drinks. I turned him down, but then one day he said he had a bunch of coke and I couldn't resist. He came over, we did the coke, and we ended up having sex. He was a very good-looking guy. He looked a lot like that ridiculous 80s Justin Bieber picture that was on the front page today. That is actually what made me think about him.
80s Justin Bieber?
Maybe like the 80s haircut.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, if it's a specific photo. For the next few months, maybe like 3 to 4 months, he would sometimes come over and we would have sex and do drugs and get drunk together.
Ugh, this is so dark.
I know. Any drug addict knows what that is like to have a drug addict buddy in that way. Then I got pregnant. I knew it was by him. I had sex without a condom a few times, stupidly. I never told him I was pregnant and I went and got the abortion and kept it a secret. Anyway, I stopped seeing him after that. It was too weird. I also got sober for like 4 months before relapsing. Fast forward 2 years and my daughter contacts me and tells me that she got back with Harry and that he is fully sober. I was mortified, honestly. He was going to tell her that we slept together and she is going to hate me for life. They came over one day and I said hi. And when my daughter was gone, Harry told me that there is no reason to tell her about what happened. I agreed. It's been 16 years of marriage on their part. They have a kid together. Harry got cancer, then beat it. I got sober. That's basically it. I don't see them very often. They live in Texas and I live on the East Coast. But whenever I do, there's always that tension between me and Harry. It's literally the first thing that comes to either of our minds. I can just tell. Not like sexual tension, like, why did we have to do that? What the fuck is wrong with us? Kind of tension. I think about this often, especially when I see my grandson. I always think that could have been my son if things were, had gone differently. Oh. But wow, what a disaster that would have been if I decided to keep that child.
I don't like this one, Alex.
Yeah, this one's really icky. This one's really bad. This one's really icky.
They had a kid.
I think that she should know.
100% she should know.
She should know.
It, yes, it's going to fucking rock her world. And it, like, sooner than later would have been ideal here. But, like, fuck.
That's crazy. Like,
you should respond to that one.
That's so nuts. I'm, like, nervous laughing
No, I'm, like... Yeah. My hands are sweating. That takes a lot.
To happen.
That's crazy. I'm stuttering
after so long, and it's amazing that they both got sober and like it seems like they've fully turned their lives around. Yeah. But it makes it all more real. Like they're not allowed to like drown in what happened.
Yeah, they have to live with it now. Yep. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. Once there's like fucking kids involved and shit, like I don't know. And they've been married for 16 years. It said.
Yep, 16.
Okay, this next one, the subject line just got me. I won the lottery 5 years ago and haven't told anyone.
Ooh, me.
I just got engaged. Yeah.
I wouldn't tell. I would tell you.
Yeah, but like probably just you.
Yeah.
Like it, they say not to tell anybody because, I mean, then you're a fucking target.
Yep.
Depending on how much you won. But I mean, the lottery, it's going to be good. Maybe he'll say how much. So after, oh, yep. After my taxes... My winnings came shy of $4 million.
Love that.
I paid off all my debts, hired an accountant, fixed some things on my truck, and put most of it in my savings.
What a guy.
Right. Like hot. I kept my job. I didn't move. And I kept my fucking mouth shut.
Love this guy.
My brother is a meth head. My sister is a spiteful whore.
This is nuts.
This guy is crazy. And my mom still blames everything on my dad who died 10 years ago. So I didn't want them scrambling to pretend to give a shit about me just for the cash. Fucking valid.
Yep.
I've been dating a girl for about 3 years now and recently asked her to marry me. And she said yes. I bought a modest ring just over what people would expect given my known employment. This weekend, I plan to lay everything out for her and I can truly know if she's in it for me and not the money.
Wow.
It's going to be liberating to be able to buy what I want and take care of my friends. And this has totally been worth the wait. And then there's some edits. It says addressing a few things as this spawned some serious discussion. We've already talked about prenups several times and both are for them. She makes enough to support herself and we're both financially independent of each other. I do plan on offering to pay for any legal fees if she wants counsel on the prenup. Love that. I've helped a few friends with small things financially, and most have paid it back. No, you cannot have any of my money. That's funny. For those of you who feel entitled to know the financial ins and outs of your significant other's life while dating, that's your view. We're both adults who had careers prior to dating and have never needed to get into what's in your account sort of shit. Or do you have this half of the bill? I never told her I'm loaded or broke. Or gone over what my portfolio looks like because it hasn't come up and I'm fine with not knowing hers. There's more, but I want to stop there. How do you feel about that?
Not knowing?
Yeah, like what's like your stance, especially now in like an adult relationship with knowing your partner's financial situation?
I feel like I could go either way. Like we do know each other's financial situations because we're just like vocal about it. Like
right. He,
early on in the relationship, he got a promotion and a raise and he was like, this is what I'm getting now.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah. It
was just one of those conversations.
Organic.
Yeah. It was all of our talks about money are always organic. And
ultimately, as long as you're on the same page about it.
Yeah. We're on the same page. And we always say this about every aspect of our relationship, but we never go into anything with judgment.
Right.
So now that we know judgment is off the table, as far as any financial situation that we're ever in, that's like where we could be comfortable with each other talking about finances.
Yep. Oh yeah. I feel like as long as you guys have the same standard for that, like that's all that matters. Like what this guy said, they both didn't care to know the details. So it worked.
Yep.
It says, I do enjoy my job and the people I work with. So it's been easy to stay on. My returns net me about double my salary. So I've been saving quite a bit. I plan on buying a new vehicle for her as well if she wants one, and a house, and paying off my friend's student loans and taking some time to travel.
What a dream.
A good friend of mine reached out to me earlier on and let me stay with him for close to 2 years rent-free. Well, I kicked a drinking habit and got on my feet. He's the only one I'll be pouring any kind of cash to. And it couldn't go to a better person. He has a newborn daughter and will get a college fund. And I'm also paying off his school debts and his house.
This is how you do it, people.
Oh my God. This is, I think this is how the dinner went, where he told her.
Ooh.
So my plan was a relaxing evening on the odd weekend we both managed to be free from work or other plans. We went to an early dinner at one of our favorite Italian places, an inexpensive little diner nearby with great appetizers. Love the description.
Right.
And then finally went to go see Star Wars. After the movie, we grabbed some beer and wine for the evening and went home to relax. Skipped the weekly small talk about work, friends, and accompanied by a few drinks, I told her I wanted to be open about everything with each other leading up to our marriage. She got kind of quiet, a little guarded, and said, "Well, yeah, so do I." Pausing with that look people get when they want you to keep talking. This guy's a really good writer.
Yeah.
I told her we were never truly going to have to worry about money and that she could do whatever she wanted with her job or stay at home or change careers, anything, because I had north of about $3 million in the bank. Her response was the slow, "What are you talking about?
What a fence how? In her eyes.
Right? Like hot. I got up and pulled a financial statement I'd printed out and stashed in the coffee table drawer and handed it to her and told her I'd won it all a few years before we had met. This is crazy.
Why am I like tearing up?
And it's like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
She started crying, like sobbing, uncontrollably crying, and looked terrified. I got really worried and started explaining I kept it hidden because I didn't want my shitbag family hunting me down and that I didn't want people around me to change or I didn't want to lose my friends. Then she started apologizing, saying she should have told me before I proposed. She has about $40,000 in student loan and credit card debt and thought that was going to break the engagement. She thought I was so financially responsible that there was no way I'd take on that debt because she never told me about it. It's why she'd been so open to a prenup in vague conversations that we had about it before and why she had never brought up or talked about money. Wow. So after a long, long, long conversation about openness and trust, even mentioned some of you cynical bastards' opinions, we hashed out some ideas, what we would agree on for the prenup in regards to premarital debt and assets and all that. I'm going to pay off her debt and after we're married, so the tax issue is less of a concern, and all of my winnings will remain mine should we divorce. Interest and dividends will be marital assets. All told, I'm very pleased with how things played out and we're in a great place for it. We're working with an attorney and my accountant this week. I'll be putting my 2 weeks notice in at work. She wants to keep her job, but will request some time off so we can take a vacation and settle into actually enjoying some of the money. I talked to my friend about paying off his house and all that. He very firmly refused anything for himself, but was very grateful for the offer and to set up his daughter's college fund. I'm going to keep leaning on him though. I think he'll come around to accepting some repayment of the kindness he showed me. Maybe a vacation at the very least. I don't know. That's all, folks. I'll check in from time to time again if you have any questions. Other than that, happy Monday. No regrets.
He said happy Monday. I love this guy.
This is like, why is that making me emotional? Yeah. This is such a cool entry.
Because it's just such a rare perspective when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very refreshing to see.
Like, these are the type of people I want winning the lottery.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And so
like,
special.
Her being able to be like, I didn't want to tell you. Like, that's so valid too. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Wow. Totally. He got really lucky with her. Uh-huh. I mean, and the fact that he was able to keep it on the low for so long in the relationship, like he really knew that she loved him for him mm-hmm. and not for the money.
I hope they have the best life together.
Oh my God, that's so precious.
Yeah. That was a long one. Sorry. Look at my socks.
Are they frogs? What are they?
Monsters.
Monsters. Ah!
Aren't they kind of scary?
Scary.
Check them out, guys.
The little pink heels, cute.
Yeah, they're actually kid socks from Target. I stole them from my niece. Fuck that bitch.
They are a little small.
Yeah. She's small.
My first two tattoos on human skin, other than my own, were on 2 13-year-old children. Not mine.
Not mine.
Not my kids. I am one of those ill-advised deviants, 41, female, learning to tattoo from YouTube videos on an Amazon tattoo machine. Although I've worked hard to make sure sanitization comes first because I've seen the aftermath of infected tattoos, and I bought some good quality black ink separately. I mostly got the machine because there are so many small, simple tattoos I want to get. I would rather save my money doing the simple ones myself and getting the bigger, more complex ones professionally done. So my intention was not to really work on other people. I started on practice skins and finally felt comfortable trying one on myself last week. It turned out fine, but I had trouble getting the depth right. And I mentioned this to my friend. She offered to let me practice on her, so we made arrangements for me to come by Friday.
I would not.
No, no, no. I showed up Friday with all my supplies, and as I was setting up, two of her kids were sitting around watching me. She came in and told them, "What did I say?" They jumped up and ran to the laundry room. So I laughed, asking, "How'd you manage to get those kids to do laundry?" "There are five of them, so the laundry really sucks." That's when she told me she made a deal with the two oldest kids, both 13, that if they did the laundry, they could each get a tattoo.
Oh my God.
You guys, my jaw was on the floor. I never ever thought I'd be in a position where I was faced with the prospect of giving two children their first tattoos. These kids love me, so I didn't want to be the asshole to tell them no. And in my state, it's apparently legal to tattoo minors with the parents' permission. I don't think I've ever Googled something so fast. Then their mom, my friend, decided to cook dinner and had them go first. So the first and second tattoos I did on anyone other than myself ended up being on 13-year-old children. One of them got a cross on his leg and the other her first initial with a cross under, with a cross together on her stomach.
Whoa.
They turned out okay. Thankfully, they were simple and the kids were troopers and didn't cry or anything.
That's good.
But I feel really guilty knowing they're going to have to live these with these mediocre tattoos for the rest of their lives. Then today, my worst nightmare happened. The girl texted me letting me know her friends, quote, loved her tattoo and now they all want one. Now I'm having to tell her, no, I'm not tattooing another literal child, even if their parents say it's okay. No. I'm not trying to go to jail for this. I'm pretty sure the charge for tattooing a minor is written like, quote, unlawful penetration or something too. So I'm extra not trying to get charged for this. I'm kind of upset with my friend for putting me in this position, but I guess if she's fine with it, then I need to get over it. It just felt so wrong. Wow, it feels better to get it out. Thanks for letting me share. Say no.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
Say no. That's crazy. Even if your friend's like, yeah, I don't care. Be like, I literally just started doing this. I'm not tattooing your 13-year-old.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
When I was 15, we were in Vegas. I was with my parents. And at the time, I don't know if this is still the law in Vegas. Probably not. But the law at the time was what they said. With a parent's permission, you can get a tattoo. And my mom was totally going to let me do it.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm.
Well, the only reason we didn't, I think we just like ended up leaving. And I remember we like called a place and it was appointment only. They didn't do walk-ins. If they would have done walk-ins. And I remember being like, really? And she's like, I mean, yeah, that's fine. Like, get it.
Do you know what you would have gotten?
I wanted a star on my foot. I wanted it so bad, Alex.
Of course you did. You're 15.
I was like emo. I was like, I need this. This is gonna express myself. And yeah, I'm like, I don't know if you're listening to this, mom, but like, kind of nuts of you to just be like, yeah. That's, I mean, good thing so I didn't do nuts. It, but yeah.
I wasn't allowed to do anything with my body until the day I turned 18. Not even my nose piercing.
That's valid.
And I made a piercing appointment and a tattoo appointment for my 18th birthday.
And that's like, that's the best part of turning 18. Was yes. Like, yes.
You can't tell me no anymore.
Exactly. It sucked to not get it all the years before, but like, that's what made 18 so fun was that moment where you're like, oh, fuck you. Like, I could go do everything.
I am an adult, which is so crazy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, all the age restrictions and so many things in this country, I'm like, it's so backward. It's
so weird.
Like, you could like buy a gun before you can drink alcohol and shit.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Just, I hate it here.
Ugh.
Okay, next one. The subject line is, I've been faking being from the UK for 6 years and it's gone way too far.
You think?
Faking where you're from is terrifying.
Well, I'm sure that comes with an accent.
Let's see. I'm using a throwaway account because I don't want my friends to find my main account. Yeah, keep it going. Keep the line going.
Yeah.
In sixth grade, my family and I moved to another state because of a new job that my mother had gotten. This was the first time in my life where I would be the new kid, so I wanted to spice it up a little.
Jesus.
When I started school that next week, I introduced myself to the class, and I decided to lie and say that I was a transfer student from the UK. I had a British accent and everything.
Oh my God.
Everybody was interested in being my friend since I was British, and they asked me a lot about how school and life was in the UK. Instead of just giving up the joke then and there, I went home and researched a bunch about the UK.
Oh my
God. And came back the next day and explained everything I had researched, and people actually believed me. My plan was to pull out of the joke after a few days, but eventually I got too far in it to actually stop it. I sometimes ordered British snacks from online stores and brought them to school for my friends to try.
Wow.
My friends also gave me American snacks, and I had to pretend that I never had them before.
Imagine pretending to try a Cheeto you're like, oh my God, so cheesy.
Is it proper cheesy? I'm in the 11th grade now, and all of my friends and peers from that school still actually think I'm British. Fuck.
Okay, so I'm sure you went to a different school. They went to a different school, different people.
Right. I know this isn't as horrible as the other confessions on here, but I'm feeling really guilty about lying about this for so long and needed to get it off my chest. As soon as I get home, I switch back to my normal voice, but sometimes I even have trouble switching back to my regular voice because of how much I use the British accent.
I bet.
I don't know what to do because I even lied and told my friends that I'm going back to the UK for summer vacation. Why would you do that? And they told me to send pics of my family down there when I go. I honestly don't know what to do at this point. I feel bad for lying about this for so long, but I feel like it's been too long to pull out of the lie. I don't know. I just need to get this off my chest and maybe some advice.
Okay. My thing is like you were friends.
Sorry. What? The top comment. Keep faking it. In your yearbook for your senior quote, put, I'm not actually from the UK.
That's actually, now it's a good bit. Now it's a bit. Yeah,
like that's where I'd be like, you're funny.
Yeah.
I will never forget you. That's the only option here. I hope they did that.
Oh, that's good. How did they go 6 years and like fully making friends, and they even said like everyone wanted to be my friend, without having someone at your house? And like,
yeah,
your parents clearly don't have a British accent.
Right. And I'm thinking like,
parent teacher nights,
right?
Or like,
and the accent would have to be perfect, I guess. Or I mean, how many high schoolers know what a genuine British accent,
right? It
like?
Could just be some like,
I wonder how good it actually was. Village
or some small town.
Right, you could just say like, oh yeah, I'm from like
Stoke.
A proper north. Yeah, Stoke-on-Trent.
That's crazy.
Oh, this is kind of someone with a similar thing. It's quick. My daughter faked being German for 6 years of high school. She had an obscure German surname. When she started school, there was another girl with the same surname and they both took German class. The teacher asked if they were related, and as a joke, they said that they were cousins and their families from Hamburg. The students knew, but the teacher didn't. Over the years, they invented quite the backstory and got an exchange student from Hamburg and went to Hamburg themselves.
Wow.
At least you only have to fake the accent. My daughter did become very good at the German language, though. Sorry, someone also said, do your friends not go to your house? Have they not met your folks? Some of my friends have visited, yes, but I just lie to them and tell them that my parents have lost their accent, but I have not. I'd be like, bullshit.
Yeah. How are your parents, who are clearly older than you and have had their native accent for much longer?
If anything, it'd be lost, the opposite.
Right.
Like Ariana, a girl we went to high school with, her mom's from Wales.
Right.
And her accent is so fucking thick, but she's been in the US for like, you know, over 30 years at this point.
Right.
But it's like, it's usually,
it doesn't go away. Just
the
like
kid loses it because you're still like a little sponge.
Right.
And like, yeah. Someone said out of state college for you.
I used garlic and onions in a meal when I was strictly asked not to. Who doesn't want garlic and onions?
Maybe they're allergic.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. My stepmother-in-law won't allow my father-in-law to eat anything with garlic or onions, not even garlic powder or onion powder. She claims that it hurts his stomach. Can he not speak for himself?
But like, it's very hard on the stomach.
Okay. So whenever they're in town and come over for dinner, I refrain from using garlic or onions, which is frustrating because I use those two in just about everything I cook. For a little backstory about my stepmother-in-law's cooking, she makes the blandest food.
Clearly.
Once we went to her Thanksgiving dinner, she cooked the turkey around noon, cut it up, and had it out around 3, but no one was allowed over until 5. By the time we arrived, the turkey was cold as fuck and drier than the Sahara Desert. The woman she just doesn't know how to make a tasty meal. Anyhow, my father-in-law visited us once without his wife, and I made chicken breast with garlic and onion seasoning, and he loved it. Aww. Nothing happened to him after he ate it. He told me that he can eat garlic and onions if they're cooked. But for some reason, when he's around his wife, both of those ingredients are not to be used. They visited before Christmas, and we planned a dinner at my house. My mother-in-law made it a point to call me to remind me not to use garlic or onions. Fuck. She also called my wife to remind me not to use garlic or onions. I was so annoyed that she made it a point to remind us not to use the two ingredients after years of her constantly reminding us.
Like, I know.
Right. That night, I cooked the chicken breast with sage, rosemary, thyme, garlic, and onion powder. Both my mother-in-law and father-in-law loved the meal. In fact, they commented on how juicy the chicken was and how delicious it tasted. It turns out they both like garlic and onions, but for some reason, just have an issue with it. Also, neither one of them got sick.
Yeah. What a weirdo. Fucking weirdo.
Weirdo. And you're out here serving dry-ass chicken and, like, no seasoning. Weirdo.
Wow, this is so good. Yeah, because the two most beautiful flavors on planet Earth are in it.
Your season. Oh, that's what we call that's season
flavor
food.
Is. Yeah. Super crazy. Yeah.
What a little bit of flavor will do.
And they probably left and she was probably like, see, honey, we don't need garlic and onions. See how good she did that? And that was just with sage and thyme. It's like, no. Garlic and onions. Okay. My next two are deathbed confessions.
Oh.
It says, not my story, but that of a hospice worker who I spoke to in one of my classes. For those who don't know, hospice is a method of end of life care that focuses on alleviating the emotional and physical pain of a dying person to ease their passing, rather than combating their imminent death. One of her patients was a bedbound woman in her 90s who was generally unresponsive, but had flashes of recognition and engagement here and there. It's hard to gauge the level to which unresponsive patients are detached from their surroundings, so they encourage family members to keep their company in hopes of soothing the patient. Now, this patient was from a U.S. state that prided itself on its state university and the university's football team. What do you think it is? Like Indiana or something? Or Oregon? Oregon Ducks?
Oregon. Yeah, or Clemson.
What's Clemson?
I don't know where it is, but it's like
big team.
Yeah.
The woman's family had attended this university for 4 or 5 generations. During her hospice care, however, her great-granddaughter was the first in their family to decide to go to a different school, the rival state university, in fact.
Uh-oh.
Her family was supportive about her decisions, but often joked about her being the rebel or what have you. One day, they were all sitting around the woman's bedside, teasing the girl about her decision. Suddenly, the patient sat up, looked at her great-granddaughter and said, "Traitor," and fucking died.
No. Oh, that would wreck me.
It says, the update says, the hospice worker said her family eventually thought it was hilarious. Go Bucks. Okay, it's the Bucks. Do you know where the Bucks are?
I don't know where the Bucks are.
I don't know. God, that's fucking traitor. Flatline.
That would actually wreck me. Like, that would, if I was who that was directed at, yeah.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh.
Is that Florida?
No, that's.
Is that like NFL?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Oh, Milwaukee Bucks? Is that what it is?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, no, that's NBA. Where the fuck are the Bucks?
Let us know if you go to a college and your mascot's a Buck.
Is this a real thing? I don't know.
That's crazy.
That's so funny.
Traitor. Okay, this is going to be my last one. I changed a baby's name of a mentally disabled woman. Please let me explain. I used to be a volunteer with a certain organization that works with disabled adults. I worked with a woman during her last trimester of pregnancy. She was diagnosed with Down syndrome, significant. Nobody was sure how she got pregnant, but was pretty sure it was a family member.
Oh no.
This young lady had been removed from the care of her family and was in the custody of a certain organization, state. Her baby was diagnosed in utero with significant issues and was not going to live but a few hours after birth. We had discussed this with her several times, but wasn't sure if she really understood. Mm. She said she did, but did she? I was with her when the little girl was born. Of course, the doctor was working on her, and the nurse asked what she wants to name her. The young lady said she heard the doctor say the, quote, most beautiful name ever, and everyone in the room was confused. Apparently, when the doctor was explaining to her what was happening to her body, he said, "Your vagina may tear." All she heard was "vagina may." Yep, that's what she wanted to name the baby. When we tried to explain she couldn't, she became hysterical. Not the time or place. Baby was fading fast. So we calmed her and I said I'd handle it later. A few hours later, I'm helping her do the birth and death certificate as well as comforting her. Somehow, my finger slipped and I put an L in the place of the G in that baby's name. I felt horrible. I just couldn't bring myself to let that poor baby be named that. The mother couldn't read or write. Her social worker took one look at the papers, did a deep sigh of relief, and signed off on them, as did the doctor. I still feel guilty.
I think they did the right thing.
I wouldn't feel guilty about that.
Like, yeah. The headstone thing, that's a good point. This does remind me, have you seen that TikTok trend where people are like, words that would be really pretty names if they weren't the meaning of the word?
Yes.
And a lot of people say like clitoris,
yeah,
vagina, like it is if like they a didn't pretty name
already have the that association.
Yeah, exactly. What are other ones like?
I think there's a lot about like Viagra.
Yeah, beautiful name.
Oh, so pretty. Viagra. There's a lot of like medications out there,
yes,
that have like really pretty names.
We know a girl named Allegra.
Yeah. I think that's a common name.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's beautiful though.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's crazy. I think they did the right thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it right or wrong, but I see why they did that.
Yes. Because the majority of the people out there who would see this headstone obviously wouldn't know the context of, yes, how this baby was named.
Yeah.
And I just think it, you know, the baby deserved a name that wasn't attached to a laughing stock or, yeah, you know.
Of course.
Oh,
whoa, that's heavy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Okay, this last one. This is a funny one, a little lighter note. Again, this is a deathbed thing. My great-grandmother lived a very long and interesting life. She was in her 20s in the Great Depression. She had a wild streak from those days that we don't know much about, to the point that we actually don't know our great-grandfather's real name. Wow. Just the husband she talked about. Over the course of her nearly 100-year life, she had collected owls, literally thousands of owl figurines. She had clocks, wall hangings, pot holders, lamps, stained glass, salt and pepper shakers, and more little figurines than you could ever imagine, all depicting owls.
Damn.
We all wondered the importance of the owls. She never talked about them. We just all knew she loved them. Well, when she was nearing death at the age of 98 or 99, all the doctors said she had days at this point. My grandparents went and talked to her, and they asked her if she had anything she wanted to share or ask before she goes. She thought for a moment and said, "You know, I never really understood the owls." It turns out she really didn't give a shit about owls. Near as we could piece together, sometime in the 40s or 50s, perhaps, she bought either a trivet or a set of salt and pepper shakers that were owls. Then someone got her another.
Oh.
Those were the oldest owls anyone can remember her owning. But from there, someone got her another owl to match, and then a pot holder, and then a placemat, and all of a sudden her kitchen was owl themed.
Oh my God.
From there it snowballed. The owls flowed like wine, baffling for 60 years, eventually taking over as the bulk of her personal belongings.
Oh my God.
The moral is, if you're not actually into something, mention it earlier. That's so funny.
That's hilarious. I can see how that happened. Absolutely. But how do you not say anything? And like thousands
are gifting it to you.
You've received thousands of gifts. That's, yeah, crazy.
It made me think of Christine.
Yes, one of our really close friends, his mom collects little frogs. Mm-hmm. And she has like a whole tall bookcase full of frogs, and she's a frog tattoo. She's a frog lady.
But like, I mean, she got the tattoo, so I'm gonna go ahead and say she loves is not frogs. The case scenario.
Yep.
But I imagine this happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
I never understood the owls. Like, now you say that. I would be like, I feel like 10 gifts in of owls, I'd be like, why is everyone getting me owl things?
Yeah, I would make it like a super light question. Like,
what's up? Did you see something?
Think I really like, yeah, owls? Like, these are really nice. Thank you. Yeah. But like, you know, I like cats too. Like, right. I like other animals.
Right. Everyone always gets me elephant gifts. When I was, yeah, little, I said my favorite animal was an elephant. But I do always get elephant. I have a lot of elephant figurines. A lot of elephant
little things. That was me growing up with purple.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, honestly, I ate that shit up.
Yeah.
I did like it that much. But, like, that's why I see how it happened. That's why I imagine this is a common thing. I'm curious to know if you guys know any similar stories with people or you in your own life.
It's like,
but like, cause you know, the person enjoys that thing. So it's like an easy, oh, well, I know they like this cause they have a million of them.
Right.
But why are we not stopping and being like, they have maybe a million have of them.
Too much.
We don't need to add to this addiction.
It's like Extreme Home Makeover when the kid would be like, oh, I love music. And they would just make the whole bedroom music notes, and like, yes, their fucking bed would be a piano. Yes. Like,
they're like, oh, yeah, I had this one birthday where I rode a horse one time, and they're like, your floor is covered in hay. Like,
literally. So nuts. So nuts.
That's a good show. I miss
Ooh,
that show.
You should watch it.
Move that bus. I would get chills in my body.
Oh my God.
What was his name?
Ty Bennington.
Oh, what's he doing?
Bennington? Let me see. Let me get that right.
Yeah, you kind of knew that really quick.
Yeah.
You've been waiting for me to ask you this.
Ty Pennington.
Pennington. Okay, you were close.
Yeah.
I would have never got that. Wow. God, this was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, I love shit like this.
I love crazy confessions. I love the deathbed ones. Like,
right.
It kind of falls in the same category when we do the Am I the Assholes. I just love listening to other people's problems. Like, yes, sometimes we just need a fucking break.
Especially, dude. Yeah, especially after the week we had. We need to not talk about our problems.
Yeah. You know, pass the mic, if you will.
Right, right, right.
Put some other people on blast instead of our own. I was actually talking about that last night on my date. Like, he asked about, like, the balance of a job like this. Mm. And I was like, it's every day is, like, I don't want to say hard because I am very privileged with my job and I know that and I love my job. But there is a point where, like, we get extremely vulnerable on the podcast nearly every single episode. And sometimes it's hard to talk, like, I mean, talking about it's easy because, like, we're best friends. But knowing that, like we're gonna have an ad in this episode, right? And we're, like, monetizing
our
humanity.
Yeah.
It's like that weird in between where I'm like, it's just kind of sticky. I don't know. That could be a whole other episode in itself. But yeah, that's why I like doing these episodes. I'm like, let's monetize someone else's.
Yes. No, I get it.
Thank you, Reddit.
And I feel the same.
Yeah. But I wouldn't trade for the world. I love things. It. I love it to pieces. But sometimes, like, weeks like we had, like, it's nice to kind of take the pressure off needing to talk about what we're going through because we are still thinking of what we're going through. We're still processing things that we're going through as
right
humans.
And I feel like we found a good balance.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. Took 4 years.
But we're getting there.
We're here. Welcome.
If you guys are on Patreon, send in some confessions, please.
I need you to confess
the dirt.
Or if you know any, like, deathbed things, if any of your grandparents did or said anything crazy in that last breath. I know that that's such a studied phenomenon, like your final moments in your life. Some people, like, say that they are seeing something. Like, we could even go down that route a little bit. And as always, Patreon, if you have nothing to say regarding this topic, it still is always an open advice column for you, all you Patreon people. And if you don't know, we do have a Patreon. We have follow-up episodes every single week. Every Friday we post them, and that is all linked down below, or you can go to patreon.com/advicepodcast.
If you are listening on Apple Music or Spotify, rate us 5 stars and give us a cute little review.
A cute little review about cool and cute we are.
Right.
Thank you.
And if you're on YouTube, turn on your post notifications and subscribe and leave us comments and stuff. We love reading the comments and responding to you guys. So
you can also post some confessions down below.
This could be a little thread of our own.
It won't be anonymous though, unless you want to make a whole new YouTube channel to do it. But if you do make a new YouTube channel to post a confession, at least subscribe, because now we get a little extra.
Oh, we get a little double U.
Yeah, thank you.
Love
so much
that. Oh, love my you God. Guys, okay guys,
have a good rest of your week. We love you.
See you later.
Bye.